Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So I'll pick up where Miss Paula left off in the children's message and ask you the question, fill in the blank, born to... Now, some of you, I know, are thinking of pop music references, probably, like Bruce Springsteen. Baby, we were born to run. Right? Sorry for that. Or maybe you're a little older and you're thinking of Steppenwolf. Born to be wild. Right? Not that we look to pop culture for wisdom, right? I hope. We're in church. The right answer is no. We don't. The song lyrics that I planted in my head when I was young did more to tear down my character than it did to build it up, just speaking from experience. And if you notice, by the way, both of these examples, these two songs, are light on truth and very me-focused. Well, in our gospel reading today, Nicodemus was a man who was looking for the truth. He wasn't just any man. Scripture tells us he was a Pharisee, a religious leader who was supposed to have all the right answers, but he didn't. He had the knowledge of the law and the traditions, but he lacked the wisdom that comes from faith. We heard in the Old Testament reading, Abraham believed God. He had faith. And that faith was credited to him as righteousness. Wisdom to see and to understand what God is doing. Here in this case, wisdom to understand who Jesus was and what he was teaching about the things of God. Nicodemus wasn't the only one who didn't understand. Nicodemus's fellow Pharisees were so confused that they ultimately put the author of life, the king of the Jews, to death. Knowing the opposition of his colleagues, Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night. He's not thinking about what he was born to do. He's not thinking about birth at all. His question is much simpler, actually. Jesus, or John, doesn't record it as a question in our text. This ruler of the Jews begins with a statement, actually. The text tells us, he said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him. Not a question. It's pretty clear that Nicodemus is trying to ask the simple question, who are you? Right? And in typical John fashion, our gospel writer, the narrative goes from a question not asked to an answer not expected from Jesus. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, Nicodemus is more confused than ever. What does being born again have to do with the kingdom of God? And how does any of this relate to what Nicodemus is seeking? Jesus begins to make this clearer, at least to those of us with eyes of faith alive today in the community of the church with the privilege of the hindsight of history, looking back, but poor Nicodemus has none of these things. So when Jesus says, next, when he says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Well, Nicodemus, that just makes him more confused. But we can hear the Lord's clear answer here, can't we? Water and spirit. This is how a person is born again and enters the kingdom of God. And what do we always think of when we hear these two things together, water and spirit? Now I want an answer. Baptism, right? Water and spirit. Water and spirit. They are inseparable in the New Testament. The water and the spirit always point to the new covenant of baptism. Even the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel foreshadows baptism when he references the ritual washing of the Old Covenant, saying to God's people Israel in chapter 36, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. But to Nicodemus, who is still trying to grasp with his mind and his reason this new thing that God is doing in his life through his only begotten Son, this is too much, too deep to fathom. I think it's too easy a thing to judge for us to judge Nicodemus at this point as just another Pharisee who doesn't get it. But I want to point out that he's here with Jesus, isn't he? And even though we have the benefit of hindsight, don't we still mistake and wrestle with God's word? If Jesus were standing in this room physically right now with any one of us, his question might be similar to the question that he poses in verse 10. Are you a baptized child of God who has heard many sermons, gone to many Bible studies, benefited from my word being in your house and on your phone all the time, and yet you do not understand? Sure, we can understand and accept the earthly things of our Christian doctrine. Jesus died for us on the cross for our sins. We can understand that. God loves us like a father. That the Bible is God's true, inerrant word, written down by 40 different authors over centuries as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit, as 2 Peter tells us. And even though we don't understand how, we confess that in the Lord's Supper we receive the very body and blood of Jesus in, with, and under the bread and the wine. Because that same Word of God, the living words of our Lord Jesus Christ, has promised it. But what about the spiritual things behind the earthly things? The things Jesus is trying to teach Nicodemus. The things our Lord, the one who saves you, is trying to teach you today. Starting with who Jesus is and what that means for your life today and every day. In order to understand who Jesus is, you need to understand why He was born. And when you understand why He was born, then you will understand why you were born. And it's not born to run, right? And when you understand the connection between Jesus' birth and your birth, then you will see more clearly the spiritual truth that Jesus reveals for your life every minute of every day. So first, let's start with the first question. Why was Jesus born? Paula hit on it in part. Our Lenten creed from Philippians is just one place that sheds more light on this. We just confessed together the ancient creed from Scripture. Being born in the likeness of men, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Right, if you're taking notes in your journals that we passed out some time ago, write these three things down, right? He humbled himself. He became obedient to God and his word, even to the point of death. So, the children's message, Paula is right. Jesus was born to die. To humble himself and die for the sins of all people. Because sin demanded a price. The price is death. And though he never sinned, our Lord and Savior emptied himself and bore our sins so that we could be forgiven by God and saved from the eternal destruction our sin justly deserves. I remembered as I was preparing the message, the Christmas carol that we sing every year that I point out kind of regularly because it comes to my mind so many times. Hark the herald angels sing, right? Born that man no more may die. It always hits me. So now the question, why were you born? Well, Jesus is telling us here that if we want to see the kingdom of God, we need to be born again, right? These are his words. Born of the water and the Spirit, which is baptism. So you could say that you were born to be baptized. Because we know that at our first birth, our physical birth, we were born sinful. The sin of Adam and Eve that has been passed down to us, inherited by the whole human race, and the sin that we ourselves have committed since our birth. So you could say we were born to be baptized. But why? Why were we baptized? Think about what the Bible says happens in baptism. You were born to be baptized. Because you and I confess we are incomplete at our first birth, corrupted by sin, unrighteous, not fit for the kingdom. So Jesus says we need a second birth to be born again in baptism, as Ezekiel prophesied, to be washed clean from our sins so God can put his Spirit within us. But to be born again, we must die. Die to ourselves. Jesus once said, referring to himself, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." He's talking about his own death and resurrection. Now, this is the spiritual connection between why Jesus was born and why you were born. Like Jesus, you and I were also born to die, spiritually die to our own sinful selves. Romans 6 makes this abundantly clear. So do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We are born to die with one critical difference between our death and Jesus' death. When we die, it is as a consequence of our sin. But when Jesus dies, it is to pay the price for our sin. Our old Adam needs to be put to death, drowned in the waters, not just once a day on the day of our baptism, but every single day. And now, because of what Christ has done by giving his life for you and me, we no longer need to fear or hide from death, physical or spiritual, even death, the final enemy that has no victory, that death that has no sting. Because when Jesus gave his life for us, he claimed the victory by rising again from the grave. Not a second birth, but a resurrection that reveals to the world that all who have eyes to see will see that God so loved the world that for all who believe in Jesus and follow him into death are born again. They will have eternal life. So Romans 6 describes this spiritual death and second birth we experience on the day of our baptism, but it also looks forward to that final day when after our physical death we will continue following the Lord from death to life, into that resurrection life forever. Hear the word again from Romans chapter 6. We were buried with Jesus by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. This is God's promise, his very word, to each one of us who have been baptized. By the way, I know that this doesn't make death easy for us as Christians. The Bible calls death the final enemy to be destroyed. This was not the way that God designed his creation. It was our sin that brought death into the world. And yet God has made a way through the loss, through the grief, through the hope, through the resurrection hope of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so while grief may last for a moment, joy and hope endure forever. So now, baptized into Christ, you can say with confidence, you were born to be baptized. Baptized into Jesus' name. Yes, you were born to die to your old sinful self and buried with him, but you are also born to live with him in newness of life. This means to walk according to his word. It means to humbly love and serve him by learning to love and serve others humbly. It means trusting and acknowledging who Jesus is as Lord and Savior of your life and of this world, no matter what comes. And since we joyfully confess with all the faithful that Jesus Christ is Lord, we willingly and gladly follow him even when it is tough. Jesus once told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." That sounds like humble obedience to me. As I close, I want to go back to the Gospel of John. It's my favorite gospel of the four. John's a little different the way he tells the story. The other three they call the synoptic gospels because they see the same. That's what synoptic means. And they're similar. But John, he decides, I'm going to play jazz and I'm going to tell the story in a different way. I don't know. But I really love that about this gospel. And so we get to chapter 19, and John tells us the rest of the story. After Jesus' body was taken down from the cross by Joseph of Arimathea to be buried. John tells us Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight, to anoint Jesus' body. What faith? What faith this Pharisee had that looked not to himself, but to the needs of his Lord in the hour of his death. He couldn't know what was about to happen, the vindication that would come just 3 days later. And yet, when so many of those around him had cursed and reviled and falsely accused and put to death this man named Jesus, Nicodemus simply did what he was born to do, to honor and to worship God and his Son, who was born into the world not to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. How beautiful a message that we get to bear in our lives every day. That's what we are born to do. And now may the peace which surpasses all understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.